So if you have a prayer book handy, I think you all do, the red book with a cross on it in front of you, please open to page 852. 852. We have been following, for the past several weeks, a series of homilies about the Holy Spirit. And the outline for our series has been the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer, that set of questions and answers that speak to the questions that all Christians wrestle with at different times. And so the question that we are addressing today is found there on page 852. I'm going to read the question, and I invite you to offer the response that you find there written. How is the Holy Spirit revealed in the New Covenant?
The Holy Spirit is revealed as the Lord who leads us to all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So how is the Holy Spirit revealed in the New Covenant? Now, covenant, of course, is a promise. Sort of like the pledge that you make maybe in a wedding, or maybe in an induction into the armed services, or in all kinds of other contexts. And also, New Covenant is a synonym that we use sometimes for the New Testament, which is the account of God's new agreement, promise to humanity. And so I'm going to read a story, an account, from the Acts of the Apostles, from the New Covenant. Peter and his companions came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon the tanner by the sea. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say.' Then Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they invited him to stay for several days. So as we consider this story from the New Testament, from the New Covenant, let us imagine who Cornelius' family was. Right? There are all sorts of people gathered. And maybe one of the people gathered in that house was Cornelius' youngest son. And so we're going to give him a name just for our purposes today, and we'll call him Kivin. So, can you imagine what Kivin might have been thinking during these strange occurrences? Right? Something just unprecedented is happening here. I'm sure that Kivin looked up to his dad, right? His dad was a centurion, a tough Roman military man. His dad had scars. His dad had medals. His dad had stories. His dad had respect. Now, Kivin probably also knew that his dad had an interest in the God of the Jews. Kivin's dad might have visited the synagogue from time to time. He probably had gone to the temple in Jerusalem, even though he was only allowed to go into the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles. Kivin's dad had to walk kind of a tight line, because to be a Roman citizen was to have certain religious obligations to the Roman gods. To be a Roman military man was to have more obligations to more Roman gods. But apparently, Kivin's dad walked his own line and avoided these normal religious practices so that he could worship and pray to the God of the Hebrews. And so now here come Peter and his companions walking into Kivin's house, the first time they've ever been visited by Jewish people. Right? Maybe they'd had people, you know, carpenters come in and work in their house, like Jesus. But now they're receiving Jewish guests for the first time ever. And these Jewish guests are doing strange things. They are talking about visions with Kivin's dad, the strategist. And they are talking about, they're talking about peace with Kivin's dad, who is a soldier. They're talking about the Holy Spirit to the most practical, hard-headed man that Kivin knew. And in the course of that conversation, several adults, including Kivin's dad, were changed dramatically. Right? I mean, it was wild. They manifested these expressions of joy and maybe of fear. And they spoke in strange languages, praising God. Can you imagine what Kivin thought seeing this? His dad, that solid rock of predictability, speaking in tongues and praising the God of Israel. I'm sure that Kivin was terrified. He had never seen such a thing before. I'm sure that Peter was terrified. He had not expected to see this thing among Gentiles. Now Kivin was wondering, what am I going to tell my friends? And now Peter was wondering, what am I going to tell my friends? Peter had never been to a Gentile house before, but now that he had arrived, he discovered that the Holy Spirit was already there, had preceded him there. But who was not there? Who among Peter's friends, who among Kenan's friends would ever understand what had happened in that house that day? And so we're told that Kenan was changed that day as all the household was baptized. And we're told that Peter was changed that day as well. Right? Faith led the way to change for both Kevin and for Peter. Kevin discovered something new as he followed his dad. And Peter found something new as he followed God. And so faith led the way because both Kevin and Peter were open to these strange new things. Now, if you've been listening to me in the last few years, you've probably heard me say, and you for sure will hear again, God is different. Different from you and me. Everything about an authentic encounter with God is going to be strange and new and challenging. Because God is not us. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is like the work of a midwife. Right? Someone helping us to release false assumptions so that something new can be born in us, so that we can be changed. Both Kevin and Peter had very firm ideas about one another and about the races they represented. And yet the Holy Spirit did something to help them overcome their preconceived ideas about race. The Holy Spirit continues, I would argue, to work in us in all sorts of ways, right? Perhaps helping us to overcome preconceived ideas about gender or sexuality, preconceived ideas about political leanings, preconceived ideas about any human point of view that captures us and limits our participation in God's kingdom. In John chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And it turns out, I haven't gotten there yet. The Holy Spirit still has some work to do. Because all of us as Christians, all of us have not yet been fully formed. None of us is done yet. And so I can look at my own life and I can see some of the mistakes and I can see some of the ignorances and they're perfectly evident to me. As I look at my own life, I can fail to see some of the mistakes and some of the ignorances, but they might be perfectly obvious to you. And there are also in my life mistakes and ignorances which perhaps I can keep hidden for a season. But the good news is that Jesus does not abandon us to our habits of sin and of ignorance. The promise that we see here in the new covenant is that the Holy Spirit continues to lead us forward, continuing to grow us into the fullness, the likeness of Christ, as our catechism says. We are in the process of being formed and matured as citizens of God's kingdom. And so even Peter, right, the chief of the apostles, the one who had been with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, the one who witnessed the death and the resurrection of Christ, who knew the risen Christ, even Peter was still on a journey of growth and transformation. And Kevin too, right? This youngest son of Cornelius, whatever his name really was, he was baptized that day. And so he continued to be formed and to be shaped. Not just as a military man following in his father's footsteps, but as a Christian. How is the Holy Spirit revealed in the new covenant? The Holy Spirit is revealed as the Lord who leads us into all truth and enables us to grow in the likeness of Christ. Amen.